What's up, everybody? It's another episode of Social Distancing of the Salty Show.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We are social distancing ourselves today. I'm in Phoenix, and my main man, Salty Saul, is in Pittsburgh. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two Times Saul. What's up, homie?
Oh, man. Like you said, man, right now it's a race to who can be the most woke. I mean, come on, man. Like you said, quarantine is now the new word that is being attacked. Socially distanced. Oh, my God. We are spiraling into a void of chaos, man. It's insane. This vortex that the media has taken people into is just, it's crazy. We're going to talk, obviously that's the topic of the day. The Democrats are debating as well. We're going to maybe listen in on the debate. Obviously Tulsi Gabbard is out, so we get to watch two grumpy old men, basically.
All they're doing is yelling at each other, not debating.
Exactly. All right, we'll talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. Well,
Ricky Jerry. It's never going to get old.
In that. All right, man. So let's get down to this, because, you know, obviously we're going to stick to this because it just seems like every day there's something more that happens. Every day it's just more, you know, craziness, literal craziness. The governor, Mike DeWine, is closing all bars and restaurants in Ohio tomorrow, starting tomorrow. This is insanity. This is crazy.
So it's not just Ohio. Remember, so New York City has a mandate that they go down to half occupancy. Boston is basically saying, no, you know, clear out all the tables and stuff. You know, you can go to half occupancy. I'm sorry. You can go to half occupancy. Whatever the word is, go to half, take, you know, you have to, everybody can't have tables more than six. You have to have a distance of 6 feet, no lines outside the door.
Bro.
You know
Bro.
What I'm saying? And he is allowing every restaurant to go takeout. So even if you don't have the license, anybody can be a takeout restaurant now. So just so that people can go get food and, well, you know, at least they can still make money instead of shutting down.
But see, to me, this is the reason why. See, even that, why can't every restaurant be a takeout restaurant? You see what I'm saying? It's like there's way too much red tape right now. I think they were saying that they are going to be having clinical trials for the vaccine starting this week.
The fastest in history.
And you know what that tells me? It tells me there's way too much red tape. Because imagine how many other things they could find cures for if just government steps aside. And see, this is one of the things where, you know, I look at what's happening. I look at government involvement in a lot of things. And even though it's Trump doing it, a lot of times, you know, we have to be vigilant about that, because it's during times of panic when the federal government can overreach. And again, like I said, right now, so Governor Mike DeWine from Ohio, okay, people close down their bars or don't do it, or don't follow these rules. Who enforces this? You see what I'm saying? It just creates more fucking panic, because guess what? Somebody's going to be sitting there on their phone. They're going to be at Applebee's or some restaurant, and they're going to say, oh my God, they're violating this rule. And it's just insanity, man. It's crazy. I don't know if we can come back from this, dude, because like I said, every day I turn on the TV, something else, you know, something, oh, more government overreach. And, you know, like I said, all flights canceled, you know, like I had scheduled a trip, you know, this is part of work, but all that's canceled now because of this coronavirus hysteria. And it is hysteria, man. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at, so there's this website. And if you're not aware of this, there's a website that basically gives up to date information on the latest numbers related to coronavirus or COVID-19, the politically correct term. And
Wuhan, you can, wild virus.
Exactly. And you can see on here, you know, basically what's happening. So like, let me just zoom in on any one of these and look at this. So for example, Texas, 63 confirmed cases, 63 are active, no deaths yet, zero have recovered. This is just happening. Right. But like, if you look at the death rate of all this, like everywhere that I look, you barely find anybody dying from it. It's like, you would think Washington, this was the Black Plague. Yep.
Yeah. Washington State and New York are the two big.
But you know why Washington State though, right? You know, the people who died there, I think this was in Seattle, right? This is the Seattle one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All those people, they were in a, what is that? The old folks place that, somebody caught it and, you know, obviously they're the most at risk. So, but that's that number. It's not like kids are dying. It's not like young people are dying. And where is this? I know where it's coming from. And it just seems like people are, this is the mass, like the herd mentality. This is why it's not good, because the herd is never always right. I mean, it's not always right. That's what I'm trying to say, right? Sometimes you have to step back and say, hey, maybe all this hysteria is that means nothing. And I'm going to go through more numbers, because I saw this recently on Twitter. And again, just for perspective. And I hear a lot of people saying, hey, it's not good to say this is a hoax. And, you know, this is not obviously it's a serious virus. And obviously it's killing people. But like anything else, we have to have perspective. So let's look at the corona a virus compared to all a series of other things, right? The common cold, 69,000 people. So for example, let me see. I think in the United States, what is the number in the United States today? The number of people, let me look at the latest number. The U.S. right now, 3,244. Well, 3,200 people have gotten the virus in the United States. In comparison, the common cold, 69,000. Okay. And again, this is throughout the whole season of the cold. Malaria, 140,000. Suicide, 153,000. Road accidents, 100.
Suicides are dead.
Well, exactly. 193,000 road accidents. A year. HIV, 240,000.
Hey, we still got that many people dying from HIV.
Yeah. And nobody's saying, oh my God, this is a pandemic. Dude, Bernie Sanders, when I turned on the debate, because they're debating right now, we're recording on a Sunday night. Bernie Sanders calls this a pandemic. This is irresponsible. This is hysteria. And they're flaming the chaos fire, man. All right. Another one. Alcohol. People who, I honestly, these numbers, I think it's people who die from this. 358,000. Smoking, 716,000. Cancer, 1.17 million. Right? So those are the numbers in comparison. Coronavirus is very small, and we're closing down airports. We're closing down everything because it's insanity.
So I understand. I totally, trust me. You know how I feel about this, right? But all those deaths, yep, related to different things. Cancer, yep, is not, you can't transfer cancer from person to person. You can't, right, transfer alcohol debts,
right,
from person to person, right? Smoking, same thing. You're all doing it to you're doing it to yourself, right? The suicide, yep, obviously, you know. With this, it is spreading very fast,
right,
at a rate that is alarming. That's the fear, is that they don't know if it's, you have to be in contact with somebody, or if that person that has it is just walking around,
right,
and it goes into the air, is everybody just going to get this, yeah, this disease, this virus, right? So that's the unknown, is that it hits so fast that they can't tell. But if it was the case that, oh my God, this thing is transferable from just being around in the air, China's got a billion people in there.
Yeah, they would have all.
These numbers in China would have been a hell of a lot more than 91,000 cases. Right. You know,
and if you look at the how many deaths from that? So let's look at China. Where's that number right now? So China, 3,000 deaths.
Yeah, 3,200 deaths in China.
I think this is just one city, though.
No. So if you look at the total number up.
Oh, the total.
That's the total.
Compared to how many people who got it. You see what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I get it. The rate is alarming. It is. But so is with everything else, dude. The common cold. Common cold is transferred, you know what I mean? Like by, you know, people when you touch your eyes, whatever. Everything that this same virus, the way that this virus spreads. But we don't close down airports. We don't. I don't know, man. I'm looking for something, you know, because I'm following this, right? And I'm like, okay, what? The only thing that alarms me is that everybody's going in panic. And I feel we're going to reach a threshold. We're going to go beyond a certain point where I don't think we will be able to come back. Because again, it's a race to we did it the best because we closed down everything. Okay, no sports, no nothing. People are sitting, twiddling their thumbs, you know, at home, wondering what the hell, right? And look, think for sports, right? We watch sports to get our minds off work, to, you know, think about something else.
Entertainment,
right? Now what? You see what I'm saying? Like, well, you can't go to public places. You can't congregate with groups of. I'm one of those that says, no, don't stop doing that because. You just feed this beast. You feed this monster.
Yeah. You know, last night I went out, right? I couldn't sit in my house anymore, right? So I started my morning off like always. Saturday morning, me and my cousins go to breakfast. The place we go to breakfast, very popular spot. Dead. And it's been like that all week. Okay.
Wow.
These are small businesses, right?
Have you
and
been
then
to
I was
Santisi's?
Like, I got home. So hold on. I went there. I did go there last right. night. It was busy. They were busy the night before too.
There you go.
So then I was like, okay, you know, I get home, clean the house and everything. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to my buddy's restaurant, you know, to grab some chicken katsu and just say, what's up? And I was like, screw it. You know what? Let me bring my equipment with me. Right. Just in case. So I didn't know what to expect at Ken's. So, you know, I go to Ken's spot. And it's dead, but there's two tables full of like 20, you know, like, kids. We call them kids, but you know, and they're 21, you know, in their 20s drinking, you know, just getting a night out, having fun or somebody's birthday. So now I eat my food, have a drink. I looked at Ken. I was like, you know, I got my equipment, dude, by me, I DJ for like an hour. Both those tables stayed. They stayed for pretty much that whole time and their tab increased. So by me being there just an hour, and I didn't even have headphones. It was actually one of the better times I've DJed without mixing. It's crazy. but it kept people there to hang out, have some drinks. And there was tables more of six. Right. But people enjoyed, they weren't talking about coronavirus. They would look, everybody's aware of it, but you can't put people in fear. And that's what this is doing. In my opinion, is creating a fear. You want to create awareness and say, hey, guys, if you don't need to go out to the bar this weekend, don't. You know what I mean? Don't say just, oh, my God, 2 months, don't go out. You know what I mean? If you say, hey, guys, you know what? Maybe this weekend, if you don't need to go out, maybe invite some people over, go to the store, buy some food, order some food from them, eat it at home, blah, blah, blah. You know, no big deal, right? You're still giving money to you. Not, oh, my God, shut the world down. I mean, these businesses will not. They have to go through hoops now to make sure that they can't pay their rent, right? And people go, well, shame on them. No, you deal on margins, man. It's not easy owning your own business, right? But rent's high. You got to pay taxes.
Tim, this is why I believe...
Employees' salaries.
This is why I believe it's a sinister plan, right? Because the economy was doing really great, right? And everybody knows if the economy is doing great, there's no way that any of these Democrats are going to win. There's no way. So again, I am of the opinion that they probably didn't coordinate this, but they know what they're doing. They're creating this chaos to hurt the economy. Why? Because they would rather have a bad economy as long as Trump is not the president. And that's not good, dude. Like, that's why when I listen to these guys, you know, what would you do? You know, Bernie's talking about, oh, you know, why are there so many rich people? You're not answering the fucking question, Bernie. The question is, what are you going to do differently? Well, there's too much rich. There's the rich have too much money. That doesn't answer the question on how you would handle this differently. Right. And so, again, and all they're doing is creating this hysteria. The news media is feeding it. And for no reason, because there's no reason to be alarmed at this level. There's no reason to be doing all this stuff. And look, again, it's Trump. I like Trump. I'm a big Trump fan. But sometimes I look at the stuff that he's doing, and I don't know if in the long run, some of this big government overreach stuff is good. I think it's going to have negative effects, right? And dumping so much money. Now, obviously, the Federal Reserve, you heard, they're it's down to 0.25% interest right now. And you know what I mean?
See the stock market? The futures are down 1,100 points.
Yeah. Yeah, because, again,
Australia is 6%.
It's fueled by all this hysteria, man. And again, in a month or two, this is going to pass, right? And then we're going to move on to the next hysteria. But see, they need to have perspective. You know, we do the show, you know, we talk about these things. We're aware of the chaos that's happening, right? Because, you know, you remember we were on our trip and everybody was obsessed with Brett Kavanaugh. Obsessed. Like, this was nonstop news. Brett Kavanaugh, you know, a rapist who was going to be the Supreme Court judge. That was the hysteria. And everybody needed to pay attention, and we need to get him out. And then now it's over. And then you move on to the next one, a Russian collusion. And that brought nothing. And you brought on the Ukrainian stuff and impeached Trump. And that went nowhere. And now this is the new one. That's why this is why I call it a hoax, because not necessarily the virus. Yes, the virus is serious. And you should practice you have practices of washing your hands, right? Like you say all the time. Right. That's common. But you should already be doing that, period. OK. So then what is all this chaos going to do differently that's going to help? It's in fact, it's doing the opposite. This chaos is causing the market, the economy, and jobs. Like you said, small businesses are being hurt by this. And but for what? It's not doing anything to help.
Yep. And then the government has to infuse trillions and trillions of dollars and add more to the debt to bail everybody out.
Where see, that's one of those things where I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't like it either, because you're saying that there's a problem. Look, if you say, hey, if you're a small business and you say, look, if you've been hurt by this, this is what you need to do and we'll help you. But by just saying we're going to throw the money in and just put it, where did it go? Because everyone's like, how do I even get this money? You know what I mean? You threw money into the markets. Who'd you give it to? Like, you just printed it up and said, here it is. And you released it. But it's kind of like, where is it? Right. How do you get to it? It's great that you put money out there. But if I'm a small business person in the state of Arizona, I got to go to the mayor's office, talk to them. I got to talk to my property management company and hopefully they give me a break. Right. And then if they don't, now I got to get a law. It's going to put me out of business. Mm-hmm. It's going to put me out of business, and that's not fair. When I say it's not fair, look, you run a business, you always have a risk, but this is not an insurable thing. It's a pandemic, and most insurances don't cover quote unquote pandemic, you know, they don't cover it because they know they lose. So it's not an insurable thing. So buy, you're done. Next guy comes up. No, these guys are the backbone of the country. But if you want these guys to go out of business and have to suck off the government teeth, you're going to be able to use that against Trump. You say, look how, because the way you handle coronavirus is the reason why we hit a great recession again. Mm-hmm. No, sorry. Mm-hmm. Dude, this should not be a political stunt. And it's disgusting that the original bill, Nancy Pelosi threw in the whole thing about abortion.
Abortion.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They're not serious.
You want to get things done, but you throw something in abortion. You say, well, the Republicans, no, I'm not just going to willy-nilly sign something.
Right.
And now it's held up in the Senate because they got to go through with a fine-tooth comb to make sure there's no shenanigans in there.
Yeah.
Where people, they need this money. You know what I mean? You know, to be released to do the test, you know?
every day, you know, because they're having press conferences every day. And, you know, Trump is the first one to go. He goes up there and he says, hey, this is, you know, what we're going to do. And then he leaves Mike Pence to, you know, give a summary of what's been going on. And I've noticed Trump lately seems I don't think he's getting sleep, dude. I think he's stressing about this. And the news media looks at that and they're licking their chops because they're like, ah, this right here, because they're going to use this again, dude. They're going to. This is they found somewhere where they can hurt the economy and can do something, and they're going to continue. I guarantee you next year around this time, it's going to be something else. It's going to be another virus. And this is going to be continuation, because once they know, this works, they're going to continue to use it. This, they're putting this in their arsenal. And I think this is why I want Trump to be a little bit more level headed. I think he needs to put a pause on this. And I don't like this. A lot of this government overreach, a lot of this money being pumped in, because you know what I'm saying? There are bad characters right now because there's money to be made. All these, like you said, like what Heidi said on the last episode, you know, yeah, great. Walmart, Walgreens, all these companies are stepping up, but they're stepping up because of for financial reasons. Number one, right? Yeah. Yes, there's altruistic motives there, but at the same time, they're a business, right? And so you want a piece of the pie, basically, is what I'm trying to get at. What am I looking at here?
So I gave you a link. So this came out over the weekend. It's called the Event 201 Scenario. Event 201 scenario. Basically, in October, a bunch of elitists, you know, the Bill Gates Foundation, Bill and Melania, whatever her name is. So a bunch of these different organizations and charitable foundations got together and they did a tabletop exercise basically on what we're going through right now.
Wow.
This whole thing is about them doing a tabletop exercise about a coronavirus, you know, and the disease starts in a pig farm in Brazil, quietly and slowly at first, and then it spreads more rapidly in healthcare settings. When it starts to spread efficiently from person to person in the low-income, densely packed neighborhoods of some of the megacities in South America, the epidemic explodes. It first is exported by air travel to Portugal, United States, China, and then to many other countries. Although at first some countries are able to control it, continues to spread and be reintroduced, and eventually no country can maintain control. This, and again, well, the possibility of a vaccine being available in the first year, there's no possibility. What we're seeing right now is exactly that. Is it cool? You know, and I'm not playing conspiracy, but it's really interesting that in October they played out this exact moment. This exact what's happening. So this is crazy, man. Wow. It's really, really crazy.
And you said this was published in October. I don't see a published date.
Yeah, So this event was in October. It was in October.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, look, I'll give them this because, you know, there have been outbreaks. There have been pandemics. One happened about 100 years ago, right after World War One, that killed millions of people. All right. But like I said in the last episode is, you know, before we get to the point where we're literally, you know, emptying out, you know, supermarkets from toilet paper, ask yourself this question, because people are like, well, you guys aren't taking it seriously, but conservatives are not taking it. It's like, okay, do you know anybody who has died from this? Ask yourself that question. And if you don't, you are overreacting, period. Do you see what I'm saying? Like at that time, you know, there were entire communities that died and there was an influx, you know, but we're not there yet. Okay, maybe this overreaction is saving lives, and that's the silver linings here. But I think it's doing more damage, and it will do more damage in the long run by people overreacting and this hysteria that's happening. And that's why I question these guys, you know, who go on TV and nonstop, you know, it's like, dude, you guys are fueling this. You guys are enabling this. You guys are, and they need to be held accountable, dude. I don't know how, but they need to be. There needs to be repercussions for the chaos that they cause, because again, this is a gold mine. This is a gold mine for them, and they're going to keep going back into that. I guarantee you, dude, next year we're going to be having the same thing, and it's going to create this again, the effects of The Boy Who Cried Wolf, right? What did he do? He's like, there's a wolf. There, people would go rush and there was no wolf.
No wolf.
He'd come back in and scream again and people would run outside. Where's it? There's no wolf. And one day, you know, if they keep doing this, one day it's going to be a real pandemic and people are like, ah, we already know this and people are not going to change their lives. And that is the one that's going to do it because they've desensitized people from real when there is a real crisis.
So it's funny, you know, when we talk about like this, right? So the news, and now that you live out, you know, back east, right? In the winter, the East Coast is synonymous with, oh my God, this is the big one, guys. You got to go to the store and you got to get, you know, 3 weeks of food. And then people go out crazy. They stock up. Then you know what happens? It doesn't snow. It snows like an itch. Yeah. And they literally like going batshit crazy to get everything out of the supermarket, right? Mm-hmm. But then when they hear it again, then it hits. You know what I mean? And then they're like, oh, shit. But this is the same thing almost because I mean, I'm equating a snowstorm to a quote unquote pandemic, right? But if you, you know, make it, if you hysterilize it, right? I just made up a word, right? If you do this mass hysteria, I went to the supermarket today, right? Not just to go hoard and what, it's like, oh, you know what? I do need some things for the week, you know? Dude, nothing.
Really?
Like there was like two cans of tuna fish left. You know what I mean? Like, definitely plenty of club soda, so that means I bought two 4 liters just to make sure I got a drink. You know what I mean? My priorities. You know, and what's funny is, you know, when I was at Sprouts, right? Because I get a lot of my shit at Fry's, and then I get my produce at Sprouts. And the guy just looked at me. He's like, "Hey, he looked at what I bought, and he could tell that I wasn't freaking out." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "You enjoy? And is this your last stop?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "This is pretty much it of the supermarket rush, right, for the apocalypse." Mm. And I laughed. I was like, "This is all going to be restocked tonight." Yep. He's like, "Exactly." He's like, "We have there's plenty, and people are buying this shit up. Like, oh my God, there's plenty. It's not like there's a shortage of toilet paper. It's you know what I mean. It's like they're making it like there's a shortage of everything, and I'm going to be stuck in my house for the apocalypse." This isn't the apocalypse. One out of five, out of three. Oh yeah, I got a problem. One out of 100. That's a problem. 3,200 people across 350 million documented people in this country. Maybe probably about 4 million, 400 million.
It's nothing. I mean, every death is sad, of course. You know what I mean? Like you don't want people to die. But again, we have to have perspective, and there's no need for mass hysteria now. You know what state's looking pretty good right now? Utah, Mormons, because they stock up. They stock up on food for this very reason. And so you know, but they also have the Second Amendment. I was looking at this thing where this post that showed, you know, lines for toilet paper in the supermarket. And then I see this one in this was in L.A. And there's this line for gun shop, right? And the line goes around the corner. And because guess what? All those people who just bought that toilet paper, they're gonna have to defend that toilet paper. What are you defending with? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, gun.
You gotta defend it.
But you see what they did, and you see what the governor of Illinois did?
What did he do?
Banned the sale of guns and ammo.
See what I mean? This is what happens.
Part of this, yeah.
In this chaos, this is where there's a lot of government overreach. Why? Why are you banning? How is that going to help the virus? It doesn't. But see, people don't question it. Why? Because they're in a moment of panic and they're not worried about what their government is doing. They're just like, I just need to get food. I just need to get this. Oh, and guess what? Oh, yeah, this has been made illegal and you cannot have more than 6 people at a table. And it's like, wait, what? When did government? When will that go away? You see what I'm saying? Because once you establish these rules, when does everybody
that's
say,
what I'm
okay,
that's what I'm
okay, guys, guess what? You know, the panic is over. Let's go back to daily life. No, once government grabs and has power, they don't like to let go of that power. And we haven't learned our lesson.
It was a mayor in Illinois in one of these cities, not the governor. I apologize. I sent you the link, Illinois area may adds firearms and ammo ban to coronavirus emergency executive order. What does that, like you said, what does that have to do? So basically what you're saying is you want people to go loot and not protect this shit. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Like, exactly.
Because what happened? Well, this is what happened. People forget, right? This is why you have to even watch all this stuff. As they're closing schools, making you work from home, and basically telling you stay inside, right? After a day, 2 days, 3 days, okay, 4, 5, 6 days, the criminals don't stop. Criminals don't stop because it's a freaking, they see this as an opportunity to start robbing the shit out of people.
And in fact,
ain't nobody around.
Antifa is sending out notifications, in fact, doing precisely just that to, to create chaos. Because again, you see, they want anarchy. They thrive in this. And so, look, I hope that calm may prevail. This is what I'm hoping for. But again, we're every day, you know, this is what's worrying me more. Not the coronavirus that I'm going to die from. What's worrying me is the level of panic that and the how society can devolve really quick into chaos and a Wild West type of thing. Because if you remember, do you remember the LA riots, right? Rodney King and all that stuff.
And this, you is have fight people or flight, man.
Looting. Exactly. And so then this, you know, for public service announcement for anybody out there, especially if you live in a Second Amendment friendly state, you need to arm yourself. And because, you know, societies are very fragile and rely on the people being calm. And when you start creating this hysteria, because again, people right now, we're on a race. Every state is on a race. Who can be the state that does the most stringent rules to fight corona, a virus that in comparison to a lot of other things is very minuscule. Every death is sad, yes, but this is not at the level of how we're reacting to it. We are way over. This is a hammer, a big hammer for a small nail, right? But that's what government knows how to do, right? They're not surgeons when it comes to this kind of stuff. It's just a big hammer. And I was, you know, I don't know if it'll get to this point, but one of the things you got to worry about is martial law, right? Because once you have this chaos, how do you maintain control, right? The police force, they can't, there's so much they can do. And I think that will be visible. If we devolve into chaos, into outright anarchy, it is going to be so clear how police forces are not equipped to handle this kind of stuff. And then guess what? Martial law, you're going to have soldiers in the streets. So whenever, you know, whenever you post that shit about, oh, you know, we had to think about what you're doing because you're contributing to this chaos. And again, this is why I said, I'm not participating. I'm not going to the store. You know, thankfully, and this is where laziness pays off for me when it comes to going, because I hate going to the store, dude. And I don't like it. So you know what I do? If I ever do go, I do get a big supply. Like, so right now I'm stocked up, but I've been stocked up with toilet paper for a long time. This is just what I do. I don't continually, you know what I'm saying? Like go and buy toilet paper. Right now I have like 3-4 rolls, but that's because when I go, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to keep coming for this. Right. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I always buy like one case of toilet paper and that usually lasts me forever. Yeah. You know, it's just me, right? For some reason, I was at Costco and I was like, you know what? I'm tired of, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, more green with toilet paper, you know, and whatever. I don't give a shit. It's toilet paper, right? It's paper. So I was at Costco. I was like, all right, you know, and this was before this shit even happened. I was at Costco. I was like, oh, you know what? I bought one of the Costco things. I'm like, this thing's going to last me a whole freaking year. You know what I'm saying? That and paper towels. Yeah. I bought one case, one in one. Those paper towels are going to last me forever.
Yeah.
You know, that'll last me a year. Toilet paper, that'll last me probably, you know, 4 or 5 months, you know?
Yeah.
It's just me. Yeah.
And I also buy the soap, like I buy the refill container. So, yeah. I mean, you know, like, and again, right now, you know,
because we're engineers, we think this way.
I think what is it? Work smarter, not harder. Right. Anyway, so I know we're going on to this. Let me see if we can move on to something else. Well, actually, you know what? Let's stay in the subject because I don't know if you saw this, but Mexico it said they came out saying they're considering closing their borders. Dude, when I read that article, I was like, oh my God, Trump did it. That son of a bitch did it. Mexico is going to pay for that fucking wall. Yes.
Dude, I mean, come great. On, man. I mean, look, I know, obviously we know that no matter what happens, this yes. is going to get, this is a, this is going to be, this is going to be the forefront of the presidential election.
Yeah.
This virus and the way it's going to be handled and how quickly mm-hmm. it gets resolved mm-hmm. is it's the new thing for the election. So hold on, let me finish.
Yeah.
He, by first off in January, closing, you know, stopping flights from China. Mm-hmm. He was in, you know, oh, you're racist, you're this, you're that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That probably stopped a massive spread into this country. Number one. Then, okay. And he's like, look, we're monitoring the situation. I'm going to go, if I go, hey, I'm going to go get $20 billion for test strips for something that we don't even have a case for it. That's crazy, right? So they're monitoring it as it starts happening. Shit took off like wildfire. Okay, it was contained to Washington and then in New York, you know, and as it started, okay, now we got to do something. Yeah, his pants were caught between the legs a little bit, but look how fast things are getting done. You know what I mean? The fact that we're going to human trials tomorrow, that means, you know, it said Monday, you know, and who knows, you know, that doesn't mean we're going to have it for everybody by November, but the fact that it's moving at this rate, he's allowing that to happen. He's getting the big farmer and all these corporations that work together because obviously he gave them an incentive, you know, which sometimes you got to give an incentive, but he's getting it done. And if he contains this in 2 weeks with all the things he's done and the states working together, because no state is saying he's screwing up, he's helping everywhere he can. So
right.
I, what are you going to do? What are you going to get him on? Oh, he didn't act fast enough. It's a virus. What are you supposed to do? Like, hey, let me get my magic crystal ball out and say, oh, okay, in 2020, we're going to have this pandemic. I got to be prepared for it. Oh, you can't. This shit took off like nothing.
You know,
no data from China. They didn't help us out. Sorry, I can go on my soapbox.
You're right. So I'm looking at, you know, because I watch those daily briefs that they're giving now to the news media. And the news media is hysterical, dude. Everyone who goes up there and talks, This is the question from the news media. Have you gotten tested? Have you gotten tested? They asked the doctor, Anthony Fauci, the doctor who's the leading, I think he's a doctor, right? He's the guy who's leading part of the task force. And they ask him, have you been tested? Are you going to get tested? And he's like, and again, this is a respectable guy, respected on all sides, you know? And he's like, no, I don't have the symptoms. Why would I? Because you know what they want to do? And again, this is all political. You know what they want to do? Oh, if you're not getting tested, you're putting everybody else at risk. It's like, do you understand? Do you? But again, it fuels this chaos. They just want to put blame. They're not trying to find a solution. All they're doing is creating chaos. Now, do you know, and DC Drano posted this, and this is genius. He said, do you know how quickly the news media will start reporting? Oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. As soon as Trump comes out and says, you know what? Martial law, elections are canceled. You know, I'm going to be president for the next 4 years. I guarantee you the news media is going to be like, oh, it's not that, you know, it's not that big. They'll change right away. And that's what DC Drader said. And it's funny, but at the same time, everybody knows that it's true. Because the next day, the news media be like, oh, yeah, I mean, it's not that bad. We should be able to vote and people can congregate
3%,
now.
3% of 150 million. Trump's, you know, the conservative, you know, the Republicans, mm-hmm. oh, they're just looking for power and, you know, power mongering.
Right. Well,
a day ago before that happened, you were like, the world's coming to an end. Yeah. And now it's like, oh.
Yeah,
they don't know what they want. It's a narrative. They're not reporting the facts, and they're creating the hysteria. We say this every show. We can beat this to it, but it's not going to stop.
Right.
The only way it stops is by us being able to talk about it. I feel good if 100 people listen to this, and you know, they're like, you know, they're right, or if 20 people. I don't give a shit. In my head, this does not make sense. And if you can't put if one plus one to me equals two. If the media is always doing the hysteria, mm-hmm. that's a problem. Mm-hmm. They're creating it. Like you said, right. Kavanaugh, you know, I always get his name wrong, but anyway, you know, with Mr. Brett, all you heard for nonstop for weeks. Right. Trump is appointing a rapist and this. And then it's like, and then you listen to the lady's story. I think he was there and we were 16. He might have been at the party. He might, I can't really recall. And then she came out and said it was all bullshit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like weeks later, like you can't make this up, dude.
I'm looking at I was looking at a clip from MSNBC and I'm going to show it to you because they're now peddling this idea that coronavirus is going to be used by the president as a way to suppress votes.
Oh my God.
Let me play this for you because again, these guys are not looking for answers. They're just looking for somebody to blame. How do we hurt Trump? And this is disgusting, dude. Listen to this bitch.
In a lot of red states, people have to stand in lines of close lines with people. Hard to social distance when you're having to stand in 7-hour lines because Texas or Florida is not having enough places for Democratic voters to vote because they want to make sure that fewer people vote, right? And there's voter suppression issues, crowding. This stuff is all happening. And so it's not easy for people to stay away from sort of conspiracy theories. Who knows what Donald Trump will do if this is still going on close to the election?
Disgusting. Completely.
What were the answers? I'm really curious what the rebuttal.
No, the clip cuts off after this. But
I'm really curious what they had to say because, oh my God, I could turn around and say, well, this is voter suppression from the Democratic side.
Right.
Because you're creating a stereo the way you don't want people to go out and then you bust your people and it won't happen. But they should not be turning this into a political thing. Mm-hmm. If you're really concerned about the spread and people dying, cut the politics off for a couple of days.
Right.
Cut it off. That means don't make this a political thing. Right. The thing you have to be concerned about is people's safety. If you're really curious about, you know, really concerned about people's safety, not going out, show your concern. Talk about, hey, guys, again, like I was saying in the beginning on MSM, hey, guys, do me a favor. This weekend, don't go out. Still support your businesses where you can. Take out this, that, and the third. But don't be out all night. Don't go to large play. You know, just try to do something a little different this weekend just to see if we can contain it a little bit by even just a weekend, just seeing if the spreads go down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They gotta sit there and turn it into politics. Mm-hmm. Stop talking. Don't tell me this is voter suppression. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's stupid. The fact that you're saying that, you're trying to manipulate people that watch it. The next headline tomorrow. Oh, Trump's doing voter suppression because of Corona. Trump developed this to stop minorities from voting. Okay, I can guarantee you, I can go on Instagram and Twitter, follow the same guys we all follow, right? They're having massive Blexit parties. Mm-hmm. Rappers that are not white. Mm-hmm. They are of African, you know, African Americans. That's what Blexit is, for the ones that don't know, you know what I mean? The black exit from the Democratic Party. They're having massive rallies, and there's rappers and, you know, rock, you know, all different kinds of musicians and poets and, you know, and they're coming out in droves for this. Mm-hmm. And their music is on the, like, it's hitting the Billboard charts. It's on, you know, we talked about it on Friday's show. Mm-hmm. Right. This is a real thing. And they're making it like it's not. Mm-hmm. They don't want to talk about that. How about if you care, how about you talk about what you're seeing? Like, hey, no matter what your political beliefs are, this guy's blowing up. Let's give him a look. No, because he supports Trump. No good. Right. No good. And all the conservatives are giving them love. And that shows right there. Mm-hmm. It ain't about color.
Yeah, this is not a racist party. It hasn't been. This is the party, again, that was founded on liberating black people. Okay. That's how the Republican Party started. But they want to erase that history, man, because it benefits them. It benefits the narrative. And look, one of the things that I'm hoping for, and this is most likely what's going to happen, because again, come May, when all of this, the dust settles by this time, right, we'll have moved on to the next hysteria. I believe Trump is going to come out looking like a winner, dude. Because this is not a serious threat to the civilization. It isn't, right? It's not a pandemic, okay? And so, Trump is, and here's what I'm hoping for, okay? He's doing everything that he can, so that, you know what I'm saying, like what he should do in a real pandemic, okay? He's doing all that. And then when the dust settles, he's going to come out a winner again. And they're going to have egg in their face. But they set him up. They threw a nice pitch right at him, and he's going to throw it out of the ballpark. And they're going to be caught.
Hit it out of the ballpark.
Sorry. What did I say? Throw?
Yeah. They threw him, and he's going to throw it out of the park.
Yeah. He's going to hit it. I'm not a baseball guy. He's going to hit it out of the ballpark. And they're going to be looking at that ball and wondering, oh man, we set this up. And while everybody's watching, right?
I agree 100%. Yep. I mean, he's doing everything. Okay. You guys want actions? All right. I'll get the Fed's lowering rates. Everything that he's saying that should be done, things are getting done. We're cutting the bullshit. We're cutting the red tape. We got vaccinations. We got test strips. We got this. Okay, I released all this money. Where is it? Oh, they wanted to put abortion clauses in there, and that's what's holding it up, you dummies. You know what I mean? Then you got the governors of all these, you know, blue states saying, hey, you know what? Trump's helped working with us, man. I can't say nothing negative about him, right?
Right.
But you know what I find disgusting?
Hmm.
I find this really disgusting because I already know that there's always a handful of people from the red side, you know what I mean, that would probably do this. But when Trump came out and said, he tested negative for coronavirus, a lot of the comments were very disturbing. Very disturbing, the shit people were writing on there. I wish he would die, blah, 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 wow. All this crap. Dude. That's when you know these people have lost their mind. Mm-hmm. When you say shit like that and you're putting it out there, like me and you have a conversation privately, I don't like the guy, you know, that's one thing. But when you start putting that out there, that's people know who you know what I mean? Like, you can't come back from that, man. You can't come back from that. You should never. We joke with AOC. If she got it, I'm not going to say, oh, I hope that dumb bitch. You know what I mean? Look, I don't believe in your political ideologies, but I guarantee if we were all in a room together, hanging out, having a couple drinks, BSing, we'd laugh. We would probably all laugh. You know what I mean? You'd find some common interest to talk about. Her. Well, so would you. You would. You get a couple drinks and you'd be like, oh shit. What's you'd be back girl? In it. You know what I mean? But
I'd be like rubbing the bald head.
Yeah. but you see what I'm saying? Like this is you take politics out because I was at at Santisi's last night, and I was actually talking, I was talking to the girls. I was talking to Ashley. She was bartending, and I was a little tipsy from Ken. So I was a little on my soapbox about this coronavirus. This dude sitting next to me is from Northern California. And he's like, I 100% agree with you. He's like, this is ridiculous. He's like, I got to pay for shopping bags. I can't have a straw, but they're giving drug
needles.
Addicts, needles made out of plastic to shoot up all over the place. And they're shitting all over my streets. That's okay. That's not a that's more of a pandemic and epidemic than a plastic straw.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my priority.
And these same people who today are saying, let's close everything down, are the same people who don't want to close the border, right? These were these are the same people. Who were like, no.
Exactly.
And not, oh, okay. All right. Nah. We want to close down all the restaurants, but let all the illegals in. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, even make sense.
It's a contradiction. If you close down businesses, things crumble. You're not paying taxes. You're not getting roads paved. You're not, it's a really fucking downward spiral when businesses close, right? Yep. Not just, I'm going to close for a week and then pay. No, when they close for good and there's no tax money coming in from them, that's bad. And then what do you need? A government bailout. That's not good either. You don't want government bailouts.
No.
The more the government gives you, they get bigger and that's more debt. Yeah, you don't need that. You don't need that. Work together as a community. One last thing, because I want to let you get back because I want to turn this on for a little bit.
Yeah.
When I was leaving Fry's, right? The savages the savages and the mutants, all the carts, they know that Fry's, all these stores are working their asses off to try to keep the stores stuck.
Yeah.
They just, all the carts all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So I'm literally looking at this, right? Because everybody's in fucking panic mode, right? All the workers and shit. And there, you could see it. I see all the carts out there, right? Right by my car. two spots open. I mean, it's a, what'd I do? I took them and put them into the, you know, the cart return place. Right? Simple thing. Took me two minutes. Not even, right? I'm not doing it to be a hero. You know what? We're working guys. You know what I mean? Look, I respect these guys are busting their ass. I'll help you out. You know what I mean? And this lady, she was putting her groceries away with her husband. She saw me doing that. She's just like, she just looked at me. She's like, dude, that's awesome. I just shrugged my shoulders. And I was like, if everybody's in a panic, the only way you can get shit done is you work together. You know what I mean? Like, that's how my brain worked. I'm not trying to be a hero, but like those little things, you're helping the next guy. You know what I mean? Instead of just leaving that shit all the way out on, you know, 3 miles. If that guy just has one place to go, he can get those cards, put them back. So for the next guys, get back in, help bag so the lines don't get long. Then he can go stock the shelves. Right. They don't think like that. They just throw them all over. Sorry.
No. And again, this is what chaos happens, right? And, you know, I think in times like this, right, there's a level amount of, you know, of decent human beings that we all should aspire to be. Right. Because, but this is all the time, you know, I'm that person. I rarely, you know, unless I'm like in a really rush, I always take that cart, the cart, regardless of how far it is, I always take it back or I'll carry my groceries. You know, I'll leave it back at the place and I'll just carry my groceries to the car. But, you know, like I said, they're in times like this, I think people's characters are revealed. Right. Because some people are like that. Some people are like, oh, whatever. It's not my problem. You know, whoever parks here, I don't care. You know, they'll leave a cart right in the, you know, in one of the parking spots. And you're like, oh, man, come on now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like this debate that I want to listen to for a little bit. Yeah. If they really cared, why don't they just postpone it a couple of days?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they be in Washington trying to be part of the solution? They got to have their debate.
Yeah. And nobody's watching.
How many people are there?
There's nobody there.
You'd be surprised.
That's an empty studio. They announced it. Okay. This is great. So when I started watching it, I was waiting for you. And so they walk in, right? And they explain, because it was supposed to be in Phoenix. And they said, it's not no longer Phoenix. We're at the CNN studios. And there was a bunch of people that they said they don't have a crowd. And you know, they decided not to have a bunch of people there. And so Bernie and Biden walk in and they don't shake hands. They give each other like the elbow type of thing, you know, like and then they're like standing so far apart. And then the first question that was either it was Bernie or Biden. I think it was Biden. Biden gets that first question. And guess the first thing that he does. He coughs twice. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, I saw something on Twitter about that. One of the people, like Ashley St. Clair, is like, oh, this is great. 2 minutes in, Biden's coughing already.
You know what I'm saying? Anyways, this is the, okay,
the topic is climate crisis. Let's listen to these guys.
We're going to listen in onto the clown show. No beliefs. See what these guys have to say.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What we need to do right now is bring the world together, tell the fossil fuel industry that we are going to move aggressively to wind, solar, sustainable energies, and energy efficiency.
Thank you, Senator.
No more, no new fracking. And by the way, in the Recovery Act, I was able to make sure we invested $90 billion in making sure we brought down the price of solar and wind that is lower than the price of coal. That's why not another new coal plant will be built. I did that while you were watching. Number one. Number two, we're in a situation where we, in fact, have the ability to lay down the tracks where no one can change the dynamic. And that's why we should be talking about things like I've been talking about for years. High-speed rail, taking millions of automobiles off the road, making sure that we move in a direction where no more drilling on land.
How, Biden? How are you going to remove those cars? If people say no, I'm not going to give up my car. What are you going to do? Take it away from them? See what I'm saying? Like these guys say people love when these guys say this. Oh, we're going to take cars off the road. What about people who don't want to give up that, you know, that dually, that big truck? What about that person? Well, I don't want to give up my Jeep. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to come to my house and take it away from me? No, thank you.
Because we have to invest in an unprecedented way.
I like how these guys say invest. It's like invest, really? Waste.
$13, $14 trillion investment. That is a lot of money. And I've been criticized for that. But I don't know what the alternative is if we are playing for the future of this planet. So we got to be dramatic. And what being dramatic is massive investments in wind, in solar. Under the green,
it didn't work. Obama did it. How many people are driving? How many people have solar? They turned it into a freaking nightmare, dude.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable.
When government gets involved in these kind of things, they pick the winners and losers, right? They do. They say, okay, we're going to go with Solyndra as the whatever. And guess what? These companies, they go belly up. And now the government, the investment that the government made is now wasted. They use the word investment. But okay, where is that going to come from? Oh, we're going to raise the rich people's taxes. Okay, the rich leave the country. Now who's paying for it? The middle class, right? These people, what they sound in their minds, they think it sounds beautiful. But in reality, when you apply it, it's scary.
So one of the things about solar, and I actually had this conversation with some family members a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't know this, and it logically makes sense, but she has a coworker who's a big Bernie guy, right? Oh, we got to do solar and all this stuff. And she told him, she's like, you know, I get it. You know, I understand it's clean, but she goes, how clean really is it? Because those panels absorb sun. They heat up. So now you're increasing the temperature because the sun, it reflects. So she's like, you ever notice like in certain areas where there's a lot of, there's no rain, it misses. And the guy right away, he's got to go fact check and no shit.
Mm-hmm.
She was right. And he's like, shit, I didn't know that. Like how solar creates a whole nother problem with global. It'll make things warmer because it's absorbing. Right. You know what I mean? Because the heat, because it's all heat. The sun's hitting that and it's creating and now you're basically going to create like megatron bombs. You know, if everybody's got panels all over, and one blows, shit, man. It's going to be a trickle effect, dude. And these are things we don't know. Is solar a good thing? Yes. Does it have a purpose? Yes. Is it alternative? Yes. Is it cleaner? Maybe. We don't know the 100-year
effect.
No. Right? But we also don't know the 100-year effect of solar. Like we know, we have a very good footprint and good data on, you know, coal, you know, oil and what it can do and emissions. But if you work on making better cars that reduce the emissions, great. You know, I mean, you can do things now. Like when you look at, I mean, you grew up in Phoenix your whole life. Mm-hmm. We always used to joke when you first got here, when you looked at that sky in the summertime and the lights, you didn't see no haze in those lights. It was the cleanest air you could do. But now we got so I know in Arizona, they got to do something because all the traffic is emitting a lot of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yes, when you look up, it's disgusting. There's a lot of pollution.
Look.
But solar's not I don't think it's all the answer.
There's a lot of things in the atmosphere, in daily life, that could kill you. Yes, does it create an ugly, is it ugly aesthetic? Yeah, of course, right? I'm not going to disagree with that. But people are living longer. You know what I'm saying? It's like there are other things that are a bigger problem. And these guys are worried about that. You know what I'm saying? Like when there is necessity is the mother of innovation, right? If there's a need and there's the money to be made, somebody comes in and invents something and guess what? And life moves on and gets better, right? Right now, you know, me and you, we live nicely. We live better than kings lived 500 years ago. We do. Because guess what, dude? Right now, you know, I have all this technology that I have access to, information at my fingertips. And not only that, I can have all types of food, any type of food that I want, delivered to my doorstep. That's what, and even more variety than what a king would have 500 years ago. And what's created that? It's the free enterprise, the capitalist society, because when people are working to make money for yourself, right? Because that's, isn't that what greed is? And I'm not saying greed is a virtue. All I'm saying is that when people work hard to make money for themselves and their family, in a capitalist society, it creates innovation. And this is where we are today. We live better than kings. Dude, I can go up to the wall right now, move a little knob and change the temperature, something that a king did not have. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, so, and what's created this? It's innovation, it's science, it's fossil fuels. You know, the thing these guys like to condemn has made our life so much easier. I saw this guy debating, what's his name? I don't know if it was, what's his name? Charlie Kirk. This guy goes, and Charlie Kirk says something really great. And so he was challenging him on the, all right, you know what? Let's get back to this, because I do want to look at this debate.
Welcome back to the CNN Univision Democratic presidential debate on Tuesday. Voters in Arizona, Ohio, Illinois, and Florida will cast their votes Tuesdays in the Democratic next primary. Here's Univision's Ilya Calderon.
Thank you, Jake. Let's move now Cabron to foreign policy. Senator Sanders.
There are about
1.5 million Cuban Americans living in Florida right now. Why would they vote for you when they hear you praise a program of Fidel Castro, a dictator who jailed, tortured, and killed thousands of Cubans?
A real
question. I have opposed authoritarianism, whether it's in Cuba, whether it's in Saudi Arabia, whether it's in China, or whether it is in Russia. That is my life record. I believe, unlike the President of the United States, in democracy, not authoritarianism, in Cuba or any place else. What I believe right now in this world is that we are faced with a global crisis and a movement toward authoritarianism. That's what Putin in Russia is leading. That's what MBS in Saudi Arabia is leading. And as President of the United States, unlike Donald Trump, I will put the flag down and say that in this country and in this world, we have got to move toward democracy and human rights. That is my view and has always been my view.
To be clear, Senator Sanders, Cuba has been a dictatorship for decades. Shouldn't we judge dictators by the violation of human rights and not by any of their alleged achievements?
Well, I think you can make the same point about China. China is undoubtedly an authoritarian society. Okay?
Communist society.
But would anybody deny, any economists deny, that extreme poverty in China today is much less than what it was 40 or 50 years ago? That's a fact.
So I think embrace capitalism,
we condemn authoritarianism, whether it's in China, Russia, Cuba, any place else. But to simply say that
look
nothing
at Biden's
is done by any of those administrations.
You know why he laughs? You know why he's got that smirk? Because it's a losing battle for Bernie.
Biden,
this is why Biden's winning.
Oh, he's going to destroy him right here.
Raising Castro's education system. But in 2016, President Obama said Cuba made, quote, a great progress in educating young people, and that its healthcare system is a huge achievement that they should be congratulated for.
How surprised she's asking these questions.
What Senator Sanders has said.
He was trying to change Cuban policy so the Cuban people would get out from under the thumb of the Castro and his brother. That is to change the policy so that we could, in fact, impact on Cuba's policy by getting them opened up. That was about. But the praising of the Sandinistas, the praising of Cuba, the praising just now of China. China is an authoritarian dictatorship. That's what it is. We have to deal with them because they're there. But the idea that they, in fact, have increased the wealth of people in that country, it's been marginal, the change that's taken place. It is still, they have a million Uyghurs, a million Muslims in prison camps in the West.
What do you call them, Uyghurs?
You see what's happening in Hong Kong today. And by the way, the idea that he praised the Soviet Union when it was the Soviet Union about the things that they had done well. They're an awful dictatorship killing millions and millions of people.
Boom.
And in addition to that, we have a circumstance where after the election was all over and we knew what was done by the Russians now in interfering with our elections, this man voted against sanctioning Russia for interference in our elections. I don't get it.
Well, what you don't get, and this is exactly what the problem with politics is about. All right, question. Did China make progress in ending extreme poverty over the last 50 years?
That's,
yes or no?
That's like saying Jack the Ripper.
No, it's not. Right.
Yes,
see,
it
Joe,
is.
This is the problem.
Yes, it is.
This is the problem.
You're losing it.
I know there's a political line. I understand. China's terrible, awful, nothing ever good. Blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the matter is, China, of course, is an authoritarian society. That's what I just said.
It's a dictatorship.
That's what I just said 5 minutes ago, you know? And by the way, you know, the question that was asked quoted Barack Obama. President Obama was more generous in his praise of what Cuba did in healthcare and education than I was. I was talking about a program 60 years ago in the first year of the Castro revolution. So the bottom line is that I think it's a little bit absurd if we're going to look at the world the way it is. Of course, we are opposed to authoritarian. And by the way, you know, before it was considered good policy, good idea, I was condemning the dictatorship in Saudi Arabia when a lot of other people in Washington with me. I was condemning the dictatorship in the UAE. You were not.
Thank you, Senator Sanders. Vice President Biden.
Look, the idea of occasionally saying something nice about a country is one thing. The idea of praising a country that is violating human rights around the world is, in fact, makes our allies wonder what's going on. What do you think the South Koreans think when we he praises China like that? What do you think the Australians believe in the shadow of China? What do you think is happening in Indonesia in the shadow of China? What do you think is happening in terms of Japan in the shadow of China? Words matter. These are flat-out dictators. Period. And they should be called for it, straight up. We may have to work out. For example, I was able to help negotiate a new START agreement with Russia, not because I like Putin. Mm-hmm. The guy's a thug.
Mr. Vice President, sticking with foreign policy, you acknowledge that your support and vote for the Iraq war was a mistake. What lessons did you learn?
I think that's the losing battle for Bernie. Because he cannot come out and condemn, socialism straight out. And the fact that he doesn't, you know, he'll say, oh, you know, there's, it's like, remember when Trump said about, you know, there's some good and some bad. And he got hammered for that. But that's exactly what Bernie is doing, right? There's some good things that he does. It's like, yeah, but it's a bad system.
Right. And to that point, what was his thing? They made great strides to help the poor. That's all his objective is about, the poor and the poor, you know, to work on the poor. What about everything else? What else are they doing to the middle class? What does that middle class look like? What do those people look like? I've never been to China. I don't know. I mean, people said that there's a lot of money in China, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have money, but there's also a lot of people that don't. But you look at this country, there's a lot of people that have money, and there's also a lot of people that don't, and there's people in the middle. Okay, why is this always about the poor? The poor, to me, what's about America, what's great, is the poor have an opportunity to get out. In China, they usually don't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In these dictatorships, it is what it is, right?
It's a class, what is that called? A class system, right? Where, you know, if you're born in a certain family, that's probably going to be your economic status for the rest of your life, right?
And it happens in this country where it's not easy, right? If you're born into poverty, a lot of times you don't always escape poverty, you know, but that's... I don't know if that... It almost seems like... I don't want to say it's by choice, but... I never see them ever try, you know, like, what do they do to get out? You know what I mean? When they go, the government's screwing with me. Okay, that's a bad answer. What are you doing to make your situation better? Mm-hmm. Right? You're going to work and paying the bills and whatnot, but if, you know, you're constantly getting knocked up or, you know, doing drugs and in and out of jail or rehabs and all, you're not helping your situation to get out, right? And then every kid you have, they don't have a chance. So what are you doing? Because it used to be the immigrants were poor, but they figured out how to bust their ass work to get a house, have a family, so that those kids could have a better life than them. But then those kids, when they had kids, made sure their kids had a better life than them. Where did this get lost? That's one of the things,
and again, this is a losing battle for Bernie, because when he praises, say, Fidel, when Obama praised, you know, Cuba for, you know, their healthcare system and their education system, it's like, okay, but they live under tyranny. What good is it? They live under tyranny. They're not free. So regardless of, you know, because again, this is something where these guys, they feed off, they need the poor, because the poor keep them in power. So if tomorrow the poor cease to exist, These guys, no, who's going to vote for them? Because they don't represent anybody, right? So they constantly keep people poor because those are the people who are constantly going to be voting for. Bernie Sanders goes out and says, I'm going to offer free college, you know, and it's like
free college for everybody.
Free college. Exactly. And from where? What money? And for how long? And you know what I'm saying? Like it's stage one thinking. They don't think how this is going to work. They just say beautiful things so that they can win votes. But these things don't work. And I always give this example. When you get something for free, usually you don't value it, right? When your education is free, I guarantee a lot of people, oh, well, this is free. You know what? I'm gonna go to do this, or you know, I changed my mind halfway. I'm gonna go do that. And this price of the education system skyrockets, and then schools are a business. They are, you know, it's again, I said this yesterday. Some people think, oh, a teacher, you know, is in a position altruistic because they're teaching the kid. It's like, no, they're in there collecting a check just as much as anybody else is. Okay. And people come in all different shapes and sizes, and you're going to have bad teachers, and you're going to have good, not all, just like in society. Not everybody is a good person. And so, okay, we give free stuff to everybody. And then what? Right? People don't value it. People don't make great decisions when it's free. But they don't talk about that, right? They just say, let's dump more money into it. We've been dumping a lot of money into education and all that stuff, and it doesn't help. So your system doesn't work, Bernie Sanders. Communism hasn't worked. It hasn't worked anywhere in the world. In fact, it creates authoritarian governments. Why? Because the second that people say, the company or the rich person says, I'm not going to give you my money, what's Bernie going to do? He's going to take it by force. And there it is. And that's what happens, right? So in America, yes, there is disparity. There is. But that's not the question that people should be asking. The question should be asking is, what is the quality of life for somebody in the middle class, in the lower class, compared to the rest of the world? And compared to the rest of the world, the system is working. But these guys want to fundamentally change it to something that it doesn't work, and it's only good in theory. And not even in theory, right? Because, you know,
the theory doesn't work. Theory doesn't right. work. Where, yeah. where does it work? When people go, well, look at China. Nah, their system is based on authoritarian and mm-hmm. dictatorship, but they have embraced capitalism. The only way they needed capitalism to get where they're at, because it wasn't yep. working. Once they yeah, start embracing it, once Nixon opened up that floodgate, and Nixon was the one who created that, you know, connection with them, dude, they were like, well, we have a billion people that we could sell our products to. We just opened up the markets. And then China's like, oh, wait, we can work together. We could, hey, US, build your factories over here. We'll build them cheap, sell them to our people, and you can sell them back in America, and your profits go. Everybody starts talking turkey. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they're like, oh, this works, but I got to keep my people down. I got to stay in power.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. I think we're going to leave it there, this. Ladies and gentlemen. Again, do not contribute to this panic by going out there and emptying out aisles of toilet paper. Do your job as tomorrow. a responsible citizen. Yeah, exactly. And just wait out this this storm that of panic that people have created. It's gonna be all right. We will live another day, and it's not what they're making it out to be. That's my stance on this. I still haven't seen anything to me that proves to me that this is something that we should be panicking about. And the media, turn off the TV. Yeah, I mean,
turn it off.
You got to turn off the TV. Yeah.
You can still support, like I said, you can still support your local businesses through this time by using things like Grubhub, Uber Eats. If you don't want to go out and stay home, mm-hmm. those restaurants are still open and are taking orders.
Yep.
Reach out, buy, you know, Grubhub might even lower their booking fees and stuff to help. Mm-hmm. But you could still spend your money with these places. You just don't have to sit in there all day. And you know what? Yep. It's cheaper for them. They'll lower their electric bill and stuff like that. But you can still support your local businesses. So don't stay at home, lock the door. The zombies aren't coming. You know, You know, if it's transferable, if your neighbor has it, there's an you could probably get sick if that's transferable. You know what I mean? The neighbor coughs outside on the patio, come right into your mouth.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, hopefully soon TikTok, Tim. That's what I'm going to call you, TikTok Tim. All right, we will catch you all. Actually, you know what? Share some of the content, hit that like button, and you know what I'm saying? Show us some love. All right, we'll catch you all next time. Adios.
Later.